Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of the Voice of Reason Talk Show with your host, Wayne Cooper, 7 p.m. on the East Coast and 4 p.m. here on the West Coast. Hope you could join us today. By the way, if you want to guest call in, you could do that at 914-205-5527. Once again, that's 914-205-5527. Today we're talking about something a little bit more spiritual appetite today. We're talking about the church purpose in the world. And we're talking about the church purpose in the world as salt and light. Can she make a difference? And perhaps I should add, is she supposed to make a difference? So, but I'm asking that question in light of what is happening in our world today, what is happening in society at large. But yes, I think you probably like me, you have a lot on your heart in terms of what is happening here in our own homeland here in America. Seems like there's one turmoil after another. Seems like when we're dealing with one thing, then something else happens. You know, we were just dealing with the Derek Chauvin trial due to the killing of George Floyd last year. And that trial just started, I believe, about 2 to 3 weeks ago. And now we have another situation on our hand, ironically in the same state and within the same geographical location there outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And a young man by the name of DeMonte Wright, who was stopped by the Brooklyn Center of Minnesota Police Department, and he was stopped on, I guess initially, that his license plate was expired. And then, of course, as the police will do, they ran his license plate and discovered that he had an outstanding warrant for his arrest. Okay, now I've read some things today, and of course I'm sure that you've heard some things, but I read that he actually had a warrant for his arrest dealing with robbery. Now, there may be some people who would doubt that, but that is what is out there today, that there was an attempt robbery and that he was involved with, and so that is why there was a warrant out on him. And so at any rate, if you have seen the video of his arrest and his subsequent shooting, then you know how sad and tragic this story really is. And it really breaks my heart because I've said, I think, a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks now, I know time goes by so fast, and particularly when trouble is on the horizon. But, you know, unfortunately, there seems to be just a group of people in the world that wants to see our country divided. And unfortunately, it's even within our government and our politicians. They love to see our people dividing and hating one another across racial lines. And this happened to have been a young black man, only 20 years of age. And I believe that he was a father to a young child. And the perpetrator of this unfortunate situation happens to have been a seasoned female police officer who just happened to have been a Caucasian female. I think she was an officer for 26 years. And if you saw the video, you know, the one thing that I will always be and that you can always count on, I'm going to always make every attempt to be fair. I'm never going to allow the mainstream media to dictate how I think. Remember, I keep telling you what I do is seek and speak the truth. And so I have seen the video. I have seen it a few times, and I have listened to it. I have watched it. I have looked at everybody involved, and I'm not an expert on the video and how when the investigation is, you know, done and when it's concluded and what the final story will be. That's not my job. That's not what I do. But just looking at it, I can say, first of all, I do not see it as a racial issue at all. I don't think that they stopped him because he was black, but I know that that would be the narrative by the mainstream media because that is what they want. So, but I don't see it that way. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that the woman, the police officer, it appears made a sincere and honest mistake in that she thought that she was getting ready to fire her taser when in fact she actually fired her gun. And that is what obviously took the young man's life. And you can hear her say in the beginning, "I'll tase you." And then of course, later she says about three times, "Taser, taser, taser." And she attempted to discharge her taser when in fact she distased her weapon. Now, because we have seen this story, this movie for, you know, a few times now, I don't have to tell you that there will be some people who will never believe her. So this show today is not about convincing you of that, okay? I'm just simply telling you my observation, and from my perspective, I don't see this as a racial thing. I don't see this as something that was deliberately done. But I do want to say, because I think this is equally important, that whether it was intentional or not, and I don't believe it was intentional, I still think that this woman needs to be held accountable. Because it would be no different if I was having surgery, let's say major heart surgery, and let's just say if my surgeon was performing a procedure on me in my heart and something happened where, let's say, sweat or something dropped in his eye and he accidentally cut me in the wrong place and that caused serious damage to my heart. He's not exonerated because something, you know, beyond his control happened, okay? So in the same way that while this woman did not intentionally try to shoot this man and to kill him, she still needs to be held accountable. And so it looks like that's going to happen because today she was charged with second-degree manslaughter. So I'm not a legal beaver. So at any rate, I think I heard that I think the maximum sentence with that charge could be like 10 years. But more than likely, she probably wouldn't get that. Okay. So at any rate, all of that is going on. And I got to thinking with so much turmoil going on in the world. And here we are, we have the Christian church exists in the world, and because I am a part of the Christian church, a member of the Christian church, I got to thinking, what is the church's purpose in the world in the first place? Why did the Lord leave his church in the world? What is the church's role in situations like this? And I remember in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount are in chapters 5-7 there in the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus talks about Christians being salt and light. He talks about us being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And I just want to go back to my roots and say, okay, Lord, if we're that, we're salt and we're light, okay, so what does that mean in light of the fact that the world is in trouble? We're in a lot of turmoil here in America. What are we supposed to do in situations like this? Because clearly the unbelieving world doesn't have the answer. In fact, if we leave it up to the unbelieving world, here's what's going to happen. What's going to happen is what we're seeing happening, and that is that the cities are going to be burned down. We're going to have rioting. We're going to have looting. We're going to have people being beaten up. We're going to have people being shot. We're going to have people being, killed. So what is the Christian church purpose and role in situations and times like these? And I want to be, if you will allow me to be completely transparent with you today, I don't know if the answer is that the church is the answer, if that makes sense. First of all, let me just do this. So when we think about the salt of the earth, so Jesus says in Matthew 5-13, listen to this. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So when we think of salt, my friends, we tend to think of a fairly cheap spice that we keep on the table, perhaps next to our pepper. So we talk about salt and pepper, right? So if we recall, even going back to our high school science, we might remember it as the compound sodium chloride, all right, if you can go back that far. Now, but that's not how the crowd around Jesus obviously would have thought about salt. They would have recognized it two major properties, and that is they would have thought about it in terms of preservation and flavor, okay? And that's because, obviously, no one in the first century had freezers. So if you wanted to preserve meat, it had to be cured. And this was done by drying and salting it. And so Jesus seemed to be telling them that they were to help preserve the world where they lived, okay? But they were also instructed to give it flavor. So salt naturally enhances taste by intensifying certain flavors and decreasing others. So salt has the unique ability to do what? To make sweet things seem sweeter and diminish the impact of naturally bitter things. So that's what salt does. And Jesus seemed to be saying, here's what he seemed to be saying, that those who were in step with God would make the world a more enjoyable place by enhancing and communicating God's goodness. And as Jesus pointed out, if his followers were to lose their saltiness, they would no longer be effective at protecting and amplifying God's goodness in the world. So, in light of that, how is the church doing in times like these? Are we preserving anything? Are we giving or adding flavor to the culture that we live in? Then he says, we're the light of the world. So he says, you're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it under its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, I think that most of us have a good understanding of light that no doubt the first century Jews didn't. So for instance, we know that it is because of light that we can see the entire spectrum of colors. We know that sunlight provides the energy needed to sustain life on earth and give us the critical vitamin D. But, my friends, because most of us have never lived without electric light, we miss Jesus' main point. And what is that, you ask? When we walk into a dark room, we flick a switch, and the room, is bathed in light. But that wasn't the case for the people Jesus addressed in his day. They lit their homes at night with small oil lamps. And so the picture of someone lighting a lamp and then putting it under a clay pot would have been humorous to this crowd. And so the only reason to light a lamp was so you could see, and just like Jesus suggested, you would place that lamp in a place where it could give off as much light as possible. So, if you're listening, the implication was clear. Our faithfulness should be evident to all, is what I think God is getting at. The behavior of God's people should be a light that draws others to it. Outsiders, right, should be drawn to praise God when they see our good deeds or our good works. So let me ask the question again, how are we doing in that respect? So if indeed we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world, when we think about this little small town outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota, how are we doing? How are we doing? But let's examine further. Is the church supposed to be the difference in situations and circumstances like this? I mean, when you think about it. Now, the church, for example, Paul was speaking to his young protege, Timothy, in 1 Timothy 3:15, when he talks about the church, he says, is the pillar and foundation of the truth. Okay, and that's rich, and I don't have time to get into all of that, but I do want to address this issue about the church versus the world, because I think so many people within the church have this understanding that because the church is in the world, that the church is supposed to always be there when trouble comes. That the church is supposed to be, if you want to say, the balm in Gilead. That whenever there's trouble, whenever there is violence, or whenever something goes wrong, that the world looks to the church for answers. Well, maybe in a perfect world, that could be true. But the question is, why do we expect that? Why do we expect that the church is supposed to be the answer to all of our world's problems, when in the scriptures actually being told something totally different. What do you mean? Well, let me ask this question. Why do evangelicals in particular, why do evangelicals try so desperately to court the world's favor? Why? I mean, if you pay attention, churches plan their worship services to cater to the unchurched, we say, right? Christian performers, they try to copy every fad in music and entertainment. Even preachers are terrified that the offense of the gospel might turn someone against them. So what do? They deliberately omit the parts of the message the world might not approve of, so they don't preach certain things. And then when we think about evangelicalism, it seems to have been hijacked by legions of spin doctors who are trying their very best to convince the world that the church can be just as inclusive, pluralistic, and broad-minded as the most politically correct whirling. But what does the scripture say? Listen to what James 4:4 says, because I want you to know that the quest for the world's approval is nothing less than spiritual, harlotry. In fact, that is precisely the image that James used to describe it. Listen to what he wrote in James 4:4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So there is and always has been a fundamental, irreconcilable incompatibility between the church and the world. Because here's the point. Christian thought is out of harmony with all the world's philosophy, my friends. Listen to me good. Genuine faith in Christ entails a denial of every worldly value. Biblical truth contradicts all the world's religions. You think about any world religion, whether it's Islam, whether it's Hindu, whether it is Buddha, whether it is, you name it, Jehovah Witnesses, whatever. Biblical truth contradicts all of those world religions. And Christianity itself is therefore antithetical to virtually everything this world admires. So, in John 15, verses 18 and 19, listen to this. Jesus told his disciples once, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, he says, the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. So I want you to notice that our Lord considered it a given that the world would despise the church, all right? So in Luke 6:26, Jesus says this, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets, okay? And then in John 7:7, he further explained, the world hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. Okay? So what I'm simply trying to tell you, my dear friend, is that in all likelihood, the world will not long embrace whatever ideology is in vogue this year, if you will. In other words, if the pattern of history is in any indicator, by the time my grandchildren, if you have grandchildren, become adults, worldly opinion will be dominated by a completely new system of belief and a whole different set of values. So tomorrow's generation will renounce all of today's fads and philosophies. But one thing will remain unchanged until the Lord himself returns and establishes his kingdom on earth. Whatever ideology gains popularity in the world will be as hostile to biblical truth as all its predecessors have been. So what does that mean? Let me tell you what it means. It means that even though there is a lot of turmoil in the world, and there's going to be even more that come our way, I'm saying to you that the church itself is not, it does not exist to put out fires, okay? But the church does have the responsibility, as the scripture says, to be the pillar and foundation of truth. So we do share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus commissioned the church. In Matthew chapter 28, he gives us what we call the Great Commission. And in that Great Commission, Jesus says that he's commissioning the church to make disciples of all nations, all right? To make those who will be his followers. And he says that he wants us to teach others the things that he's taught us, that others might become his followers. And then that cycle continues on from generation to generation. He did tell us that the church has that responsibility. And one day, as I just stated, Jesus is going to come and he's going to set up his kingdom here on earth. Okay. But every time there is trouble in this world, it doesn't mean that the church is to stand up and to try to be the police for every problem that we have. Because if that's the case, we will be more about trying to put out fires than we are to trying to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are opportunities, I think, for Christian leaders and community leaders who are in the church that we may have to speak to issues that come and that impact our community. I think that we have those opportunities, and we ought to take advantage of those opportunities when the Lord opens those doors. But unfortunately, sometimes churches can be more about politics than they are about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so in the old days, for example, there are churches that were known more about, you know, whether they were, you know, affiliated with a specific political party than they were about the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And so I wanted to come today to say that, you know, that the purpose of the church being in the world is that we might be the pillar and foundation of the truth. And that means in essence that we believe in the immutability of God and his word. That is, God is unchanging. He is the Lord. He is the sovereign ruler of the universe. And that we are called to earnestly defend the historical faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. And that we oppose conforming to this world. And so we got to stand on those truths, those principles. And so I want you to know that God loves us and that he wants to heal us. And it's not until we turn to him that we repent and look to him that healing will occur. So I hope that I've said something that has struck a nerve with you. But I want you to remember that the church's purpose is not to put out fires every time there's problems. So until the next time, this is the Voice of Reason Talk Show with your host, Wayne Cooper. May God bless you until we meet again.